The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
When you died on the cross, when the veil was rent, when you said, "It is finished," that means the plan of salvation was complete. And Lord, we needed a Savior. So we thank you that you came to redeem us from the slave market of sin. And for that, we say thank you. No matter what condition you found us in, you had to come rescue us. And Lord, there's somebody here up under the sound of my voice who needs to hear from you, to know that you still care, to know that you are still there, and that even though you've saved us from the penalty of sin, while we are here and wrapped in sinful flesh, we need you to continue to release us from the presence and the power of sin, because it won't be till we get to heaven where we can sing with joy unspeakable joy. But Lord, while we're down here, help somebody know that you're still walking with them and still talking with them, and that they are still their own. Lord, we need to hear a word from you. We needed to hear a word before. Surely we need it now. So right now, dear God, we've set the atmosphere for you to dwell. Now we need you to speak. Lord, we know that when you speak, stuff moves, stuff happens. Matter of fact, stuff comes into existence. So we need you to speak life right now in the name of Jesus. Speak into somebody's heart, the mind, the spirit, and bring life. We love you today. We extol you and we magnify your name, for you are worthy to be praised. And it's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. If you're physically able to stand, Matthew chapter 11. So once the word of God will come, Matthew chapter 11, that's from once the word of God will come. The Lord has had this series on me for a while, and I've already been meditating on it, but even as I get ready to read it, I'm already knowing. I never know who's coming to church, and that's not my concern. My job is to be a prepared vessel, to be the voice to cry out. But I can already tell you that this is going to speak to somebody right now in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, the Message translation reads this way. The question is, he says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." There's some action items in there, and we'll get to it. But he says, walk with me and work with me. Here it is. He says, watch how I do it. Today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to continue in our sermon series, Christian Survival Training. We added that, Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. But this morning, the subject is, are biblical principles for stress management. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Biblical principles for stress management. My brothers and my sisters, last week, as part of our intro into the series, I asked, when was the last time you were asked, how do you intend to live? In other words, how do you plan? How do you mean? How do you What do you have in mind? What aim do you have? What do you hope? How do you expect to live? For a lot of people, living is the same old, or the same sugar, honey, iced tea. Come on, somebody. Different day. Thus, the reason I contend, hear me today, while so many people are chronically unhappy, they're unhappy with themselves, and they're displeased with their lives. I mentioned that we are living in a time where we have epidemic levels of depression, anxiety, we have eating disorders, obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, osteoporosis, alcoholism, drug abuse, road rage, violent behavior, people losing control over minor incidents, headaches, and the list goes on and on and on. But the truth is this, all of that is related to the excessive stress that we face in our society today. I hear far too often these phrases, and I hear them from people in and outside of the church, people saying, I am stressed out. Some folk add emphasis, come on somebody, I'm stressed out. Y'all know, amen, listen, I'm just being for real. I'm stressed, yeah. Or I feel trapped, or I am so overwhelmed. So I began to talk about why I believe the Lord put this on my heart for us to go through what I call a retraining of sorts. And it's because for far too many of us, and we always like to talk about how long we've been in the church, but we still have yet to have some church get in some folk. Come on, somebody. Amen. But for far too long, we're told that following Christ or following Jesus is just about praying the sinner's prayer, attending church, and just learning about being good instead of actually applying good in our lives. There are a lot of people who read Christian books. They read the devotions. They buy Christian paraphernalia, listen to Christian music, Christian sermons, etc. But they do all of that just hoping that it'll rub off on them. People, they read the Bible, but people read the Bible without engaging in the practices that will make us into the kind of people. We like to be called good church folk. But Jesus wants us to be the kind of folk who can actually love our enemies. See, there's some good church folk who don't love their enemies. Come on, somebody. Jesus said he wants us to be the kind of folk that loves our enemies. Actually, people who pray for those who persecute us. Actually be able to live free from excessive worry and actually release some bitterness that we might have towards somebody else. You see, the information is only valuable only if we are engaging in the practices and the training that will enable us to do what we need to do. Many of us weren't told when we signed up to be a Christian that the life that Christ calls us requires some training. But that training takes some time, and it's going to take some deliberate effort. I want you to make sure to request a copy of our CD from last week or download the podcast to hear the entire message from an intro, because it lays out the groundwork for the series of messages that we'll be starting on today. So I asked the question last week, and I'm going to ask you today. So who's in? Come on, somebody. Who's in? Who's ready for the training? Amen. 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 So we got a whole lot of folk who mimic, you know. So we say, clap your hands, and folk. We say, raise your hand, and folk. So I'm asking who's in, but I don't want you just to say I'm in if you're not in. So I want to know who's in. Amen, because it's going to take some work, and it's going to take some training, and it's going to take some effort that we're going to have to put in. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How are you managing the stress in your life? Well, here's what I want to do. I'm going to do something. I told you we're going to make this interactive. It's going to be a little different. So I'm going to ask you, Deke, take one, pass it around. I'm going to ask you here. Take one, pass it around. Take one, pass it around. At the doctor, they give you what they call a stress test. They hook you up with all these probes and make you run, and before you even 5 minutes in, you're out of breath, and they want to check your heart rate and all this other stuff. Well, I want you all to take a proverbial stress test. And what I passed out is some simple stress questions to help you measure your level of stress. But it doesn't just measure your level of stress. It measures how your stress coping skills are working. I want everybody to have one. Now, I want you to get a pen or a paper. Listen, I was taught when I was a child, everybody was talking about how they was raised. I was taught in a child, you bring three things to church. You bring a Bible, you bring a pen, and you bring some paper. Amen. So if you don't have a pen or a pencil, ask somebody for one. Come on, somebody. And I want y'all to fill it out. Now, don't take a whole lot of time. Don't take a whole lot of time. The instructions are right there. Does everybody have a copy? I want everybody to have a copy. If you don't have a copy, raise your hand. Now, I put on the paper. Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. We got copies coming around. Here, Cynthia, you got any? She's giving them out. So I put on there where I got it. The Headington Institute, I'm not even sure who they were. I just liked the questions because they were light and they kind of helped. They were non-clinical. All right? So there's a scale. I didn't give you the scale because, see, y'all would try to answer the questions to the scale. Amen. So I want you to take some time, answer the questions. They real light questions. Amen. All right? The instruction is, in the last month, how often has any of the following been true for you? Right now, this is your paper. I noticed I didn't put anywhere on it for you to put your name, and you don't have to share it with anybody. And if I got some teens in here, and I know I do, young people, you do not have to share this with your parents. I know I'm telling y'all something. Your parents will know everything, but this is the one time you can say, and it might work in your house, pastor said. Now, usually that don't work. So, I want you to fill it out. Be honest with yourself. Does everybody have a copy? Everybody should have their own copy. Miss Betty, I apologize. We're going to have to work on some stuff to get this for you. Well, she's reading it to her. Okay, good. Take a few minutes. It's not that hard. It should only take you maybe less than 5 minutes. Go. I want everybody to fill it out. Now, see, wait a minute. Ho. See, matter of fact, this is not a good time for you to be cheating off somebody else's paper. Come on, somebody. Don't think that the person next to you got the right answer for you. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. Now, I'm not here to assess this. You're not even going to pass this in. You're going to take this on with you. Amen. But it'll help you here in a minute. Now, some of y'all putting a lot of thought into this. Some of y'all, listen, and this ain't one of them things y'all got to Google. Don't phone a friend. I need you to answer your questions for yourself, 1 to 25. Y'all finished? You finished? Did you total up the score? I don't want to hear the total. I don't want to hear any totals. You all keep your totals. I just want to know if you have a total. So if you don't have a total, say, give me a minute. Okay, I need a total. Yeah, some of y'all, Now notice there's a disclaimer in there that if you have concerns about your state of emotional health, consult with a mental health professional. I'm for real. Now I'm gonna give you a scale here. It is not clinical diagnostic and it is nothing, it's just for educational purposes. That's all this is. Anybody still need a minute? Okay, need a minute. I'm gonna give you 60 more seconds. I'm watching the clock. Younger, Did y'all fill it out back there? I want to make sure. You, Lil' Jay, you fill one out? I know. Did you fill one out, Lil' Jay? Fill one out. And I know you with your daddy. Don't show your daddy your score. Fill one out. Matter of fact, your daddy might not want to show you his score. All right, so here we go. Get your total. Now, here are the guidelines. From 0 to 25, you're going to have a score in this range suggests that you're probably in great stress shape, all right? From 26 to 50, score in this range suggests that you may be experiencing a low to moderate degree of stress, all right? Listen, this ain't the time for y'all to say amen. I look for one or two, but this ain't the time for y'all to do it. 51 to 75, a score in this range suggests you may be experiencing a moderate to high degree of stress. And 76 to 100, a score in this range suggests that you may be experiencing a very high degree of stress. 0 to 25 is great stress shape. 26 to 50, you may be experiencing a low to moderate. 51 to 75 range suggests you may be experiencing moderate to high. And then 76 to 100 suggests you may be experiencing a very high degree of stress. Just keep this now. You can put it away. Okay? Just hold on to it for later. Okay? How many of you believe that if we are blessed, we should never have any stress? See, I hear some amens, all right? So, what I find interesting about that was a leading question, because there is a phrase that Christian folk say, they memorize and they repeated it. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Ask folk how they do it. I'm too blessed to be stressed. So I hear that, and, you know, we hear it. It's cute and all. I mean, it's cute. Some of y'all even, you know, got the T-shirt. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. I know. But so then I got to ask. So then if I'm stressed, or if I have stress in my life, does that mean I'm not blessed? And some folk would say, yeah, King, that's what that means. And I want to know according to who. Because Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Somebody can say amen to that. Come on, somebody. That's the word of God. In the world, you will have tribulation, or you will have trouble. You will have difficulties. You will have trials. He said, you will have, not you might have, not maybe have, but you will go through tribulations in this world. So knowing that, God made us in such a way that when something happens, or I just say when something rather real or imaginary threatens our safety, our peace, our life, or anything we consider important, it is actual that we develop what is called a stress response. Matter of fact, that's something you can write down in Google. That is a physiological term. We develop a stress response. Amen. The stress response is the intensity and the amount of stress that can sometimes be very critical in our lives. So being stressed itself is not bad. But finding a balance in our lives and managing our stress can be a challenge. Because if the stress situation continues for a long time, even after the stimulus or the threat is removed, that's when we got a problem. It becomes what psychiatrists call chronic stress. Chronic stress is what makes people sick. Many of stress related to disease like hypertension, chronic headaches, ulcers, etc., are a result of chronic stress. Anger that folk can't let go. Seething anger is a form of chronic stress. Prolonged hostility, hate, or resentment against somebody else can cause our body to be in a continued state of stress and anxiety. Another form of stress is what is called traumatic stress. Now, unlike chronic stress, traumatic stress is those things that are caused by something that happens sudden. It's caused when something bad happens to us unexpectedly or unpredictably, like the death of a loved one, whether family or friend, being robbed or attacked, maybe being in a serious accident. Natural calamities like earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, when they strike and they hit us directly, that can cause traumatic stress. And when situations happen to us, it generally takes long for us to turn off the stress reaction or the stress response. And some people are unable to turn it off at all. Thus, it results into what psychiatrists call post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what is PTSD. People with PTSD continually relive the traumatic experience that they went through and hence continue to be stressed about the experience that might have been or might be long over. So now that we understand a little bit more about the different types of stress and we've even assessed our own stress levels, let's understand and even begin to apply how do we manage our stress. The thing is, we got to learn how to manage our stress according to biblical principles. Thus, our Christian Survival Training 101, intending to live. See, the question is, how do you intend to live? We got to stop living the way we've been living. And not all of it is your quality of life, how much money you have or what your house is. It's how we're living even in the house. Not even in the house in your neighborhood. Watch this. How you living even in the church house? Question is, how do you intend to live? What's your aim? Amen. So we need to have some biblical principles for stress management. Now, in this message, I'm going to present to you some principles for stress management. But the concept of this series is not for me to do all the proverbial spiritual heavy lifting. I need you all to make sure you follow up and you follow through with some of this stuff to delve deeper into the principles, because I might even work in some series in a couple weeks to where we actually have some teach back sessions. We actually have some testimony sessions, because we can't keep eating and feeding off of the word and we're not using it in our lives. Amen. Care how many sermons you've heard. But if they're not applied in your life, then we're missing a point. The principles I'm going to walk through here and for just a little while are there's seven of them. Number one, know who you are. Know who you want to please. Know what you want to accomplish. Focus on one thing at a time. I'm going to break them down a little bit. Make a habit of personal prayer. Take time to rest. And then give your stress to Christ. Now, I'm not here to give you a seven-step program. These are biblical principles. In other words, you may take one or two and just apply it in a particular situation, but you need to hear and understand each and every one of them. The scripture that we read, Jesus himself, he says, watch how I do it. So if there's any example that we're going to look at, we got to look at Jesus as our model. Jesus Christ was a person who was constantly under pressure. He was under pressure because of his popularity. People always wanted to be around him. So he had to seek out times for personal privacy. Other people repeatedly misunderstood him. They criticized him. They ridiculed him. He had an enormous amount of stress in his life. But as we look at the life of Jesus, we actually discover that he remained at peace under pressure. Now, of course, somebody was saying it's easy to say, well, he was God come in the flesh. Well, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. So he experienced the things that we experience, but nothing else. He becomes the model for us to follow. And one thing we're going to see is that Jesus was never in a hurry. He was always at ease, and he had a calmness about himself that enabled him to handle the stress. But there were some principles, and the Holy Spirit helped me to see them, and we're going to help each other. The first principle I want us to see was know who you are, right? In the Bible, in John chapter 8, verse 12, not all these scriptures are going to be up for you, so you're going to have to write them down. The first principle is know who you are. John 8, 12, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. He also said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Finally, Jesus knew who he was. And this is the first principle in handling stress in your life. It's what we call identification. Identification is know who you are. Now, I got a whole lot of folk in here, young, middle-aged, and senior. But I want to speak to all of us because it's critical for us in this part of stress management, because if you don't know who you are, you're going to let other people pressure you into being somebody that you're not, or they're going to pressure you into trying to be who they want you to be. A lot of stress is in our lives because we are wearing masks. Try to be somebody that we're not, or we're constantly trying to be somebody else that we think somebody will like. People put expectations on us. We try to live up to others' expectations rather than being who God intended us to be. Too many people, watch this, in and out of the church are living double lives. Therefore, they're living under constant pressure. Every one of us needs to figure out who we are, not in somebody else's sight, because see, that'll change like the wind. We need to figure out who we are in God's sight. See, that's the key principle to us being able to balance our stress. As a matter of fact, here's some affirmation I want us to begin to practice and apply. If it's not for yourself, speak it to yourself and speak it to the prince of the air. If you can see it up on the screen, I want you to say it with me. Can you see it? All together, you ready? I am a child of God. I am not an accident. I was put on earth for a purpose. I am deeply loved by God. I am completely accepted by God. He has a plan for my life. He says I am valuable and that I am significant. Quit letting people put you down. Quit letting people put labels on you. Quit letting social media shape your identity or influence your self-esteem. Quit letting other people manipulate you and control your significance. If you are a child of God, I said if you are a child of God, then you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are and that you are significant, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. It's who you are in Christ. Amen. So not only know who you are, but the second principle is know who you want to please. John chapter 5, verse 30, part B, Jesus said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus always knew who he was trying to please. And he was trying to please his Father. That's what we call direction. Direction is know who you want to please. In other words, you, John, can't please everybody. So you might as well please the most important person in your life, and that's God. Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and the righteousness and all these other things will be added to you, right? Seek ye first. I like the way the Message translation puts it. Watch this. The Message translation says it like this. Here for your hearing. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. We need some God reality. See, there's some folk, there's some stuff that folk put on you that's their reality. That's not God's will for your life. See, that's a great promise. I mean, if you and I can focus on one thing and one thing only, Jamad, and that's pleasing God, then it will simplify our lives. That means my main goal is to please God. And if my main goal is to please God, then I'm going to seek, I'm going to pursue, I'm going to try to do the right thing. Because if I do the right thing, I don't have to worry about sneaking and deleting. I don't have to worry about, spying and lying. I mean, if you're doing the right thing, you don't need to break the code on the phone. Here it is. I need some honest Christians in the house. I know this is hitting hard. I know it is. My main goal is to please God. I shouldn't worry about what everybody else thinks about me. It's God and God alone. I'm dedicated to him. And if some other folk want to withhold their care for you because that's their ability to control you, I know God's got me. And God said, I will take care of you. I need to speak to somebody. God said, you my child. Amen. Third principle, stress management, is know what you want to accomplish. John 8:14, Jesus said, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. Jesus knew where he was from and where he was going. He knew what he wanted to accomplish in his life. That's what this principle is. That's what I call destination. Destination is knowing what you want to accomplish. Listen. Unless you know where you're going, how will you know if you ever get there? I'll ask it again. Unless you know where you are going, how will you know if you ever get there? I don't care how old we are. I don't care how grown we think we are. We still don't have any priorities planned for our lives. Listen, plan your life. Set some priorities. Pursue some goals. If you know what you want to accomplish, it will help relieve a lot of pressure in your life. Listen, every day, you're either going to live your life by priorities or you're going to live your life by pressure. There is no other option. You're either going to live by priorities or you're going to live by pressure. Sometimes your priorities can go against the pressure that somebody else puts on you. So now you're trying to figure out how to deal with the pressure and quit putting your lives in somebody else's hands to keep that pressure on you. Live by priorities. You have to decide what's important in your life, or somebody else is going to tell you what's important in your life. Set some priorities. I mean, it's one thing to say I'm busy. It's one thing to be so busy. I mean, I've been there. Sometimes we say, "Woo, how was your week?" So busy. But one thing the Holy Spirit convicted me one time. He said, "You busy, but are you really getting anything done?" Yeah, this had to hit me first. I know you're busy, but are you getting anything? Have you really accomplished anything? You set some goals. You can evaluate your steps towards your goals. Listen, somebody said it seems to be a crazy habit of mankind that when he or she loses their way, they actually double their speed. It's like an Air Force pilot in World War II who flew over the Pacific. When he radioed in, the controller asked, "Where are you?" The pilot replied, "I don't know, but I'm making record time." It's a whole lot of people who are speeding through life, but they don't know where they're headed. This takes me into my next principle. Focus on one thing at a time. Now, I know how that reads, and I know how that sounds, but here's what I mean when I say that. There were a whole lot of people who tried to get Jesus detoured from his plan schedule, or they tried to distract him. Have you been there? From the goals in his life. When you have time, I don't have time to read them all. Mark down Luke 4, 42 and 43. Luke 4, 42 and 43. And Luke 19, verse 10. See, in this principle of stress management, this is what they call concentration. Concentration is being able to focus on one thing at a time. Here's what I mean. When you read that text, you're going to find that everybody tried to interrupt Jesus. Watch this. Everybody had a plan B for Jesus. But Jesus had to stay on plan A. Amen. Jesus was determined. He was persistent. And he concentrated his efforts. Have you ever been in a situation where it seems like there's so much that you have to do all at once? You seem overwhelmed? Amen. I've been there. Amen. But when we concentrate our efforts, watch this, we're actually more effective. Light diffused produces a hazy glow. That's scientific. Light diffused produces a hazy glow. But light concentrated can produce a fire. Because when you use a magnifying glass and concentrate light on a dry leaf, you can actually catch that dry leaf on fire. Too many folk in and out the church have lost their fire. That's because they're trying to live off diffused light. Jesus Christ didn't let interruptions prevent him from concentrating on his goal. Wait a minute. He didn't even allow other people to make him tense or irritated. Which takes me to my next principle. Make a habit of personal prayer. Make a habit of personal prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus, he got up, he left the house, and he went away to a secluded place, and he was praying. Jesus often got up early, and he went and prayed. He often sought out time to pray. That's what this fifth principle is about. It's about meditation. Believe that was the concept probably of yesterday's women's conference, just trying to bring us into a point of meditation. In other words, make a habit, and what I'm talking about is personal prayer. Prayer is a gigantic stress reliever. Matter of fact, prayer is a God-given tool to let off some of our anxieties. No matter how busy Jesus got, he made it a practice to spend time alone with God. And so I got to thinking about this. I said, if Jesus himself made time for prayer when he was busy, Sister Cynthia, how much more should you and I make time for prayer? Quiet time with God can be a great time of decompression. We can talk with God in prayer, tell him what's on our mind and listen to what he says. Listen, many of our problems comes from our inability to sit still. Huh? We just don't know how to be quiet and be still. We always got to be on the move. Trust me, that is a chronic habit for me. We call it, what's the term? Multitasking. Ask your teen. You probably seen it. It frustrates the you-know-what out of you. They can be scrolling or texting on their phone, eating, watching television, and conversating with persons all the same time. And they say, I'm paying attention. And in your mind, you're trying to figure out how in the world can you split your attention like that. When you have time, read Psalm 46:10. Read the 46th Psalm, verse 10. But here's how the message puts it. Psalm 46, verse 10. Listen. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Well, I like that translation is because sometimes it's hard for us to step out of the traffic of life. It's hard for us to get out of the rat race. Yeah, we are in a race and we want to win the race, but we need to start out our morning with prayer. Trust me, Jesus did. And prayer can help us to recharge our batteries. Amen. Keeps us connected with God, which is vital. Which takes me to a sixth principle, and I'm almost finished. Sixth principle is take some time to rest. It's a big one for me. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 6, 31, he says, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. That's what Jesus said. He said it because there were people who were coming and going, and the disciples didn't even have time to eat or even rest themselves. They were just busy. People always coming at them. The crowds were getting bigger and bigger. And notice, Jesus didn't say to them, pick up the pace. He didn't say, work harder because you got to keep up. He said, come away and rest a while. It's a concept of this sixth principle. It's relaxation. Let's take some time to rest. Jesus, in essence, looked at his disciples and he said, you need a break today. I know that this new concept of parenting that we didn't buy into when I was raising kids and then my parents and using it on me was what they call time out. You know, putting folk in time out. You know, parents be like, what the what? But every now and then, God says, you need to take some time out for your life because you are no good because at helping anybody else. Matter of fact, you need some help yourself to be recharged. That's the same concept that they have on the airplanes. The same concept. It's a basic concept. They say that when the cabin is pressurized and the mask drops, they tell you to put the mask on yourself first. Then you can help somebody else next to you. Now, naturally, if I'm a parent, I got my children, I got maybe somebody I love, I want to make sure that they're okay before I get to myself. But if I'm too weak to help anybody else, then I'm no good to them or myself. All right? We have to. One reason why Jesus could handle some stress is he knew when to rest or relax. The Bible says, you're looking in the Bible, he frequently went up to the mountains. Or he went to the desert just to unwind, to get away from it all. Again, I got to be honest. This is a big one for me and something I'm truly trying to work on. Because the Holy Spirit has said to me, he said, listen here, King, rest and even some recreation in life can no longer be optional for you. In fact, watch this. In fact, Miller, rest is so important to God that he actually included it in the Ten Commandments. Amen. Some people forget that. He included it in Ten Commandments. Read Exodus 31. Read Exodus 31, verse 15, part A. The Sabbath was made for man because God knows our physical, emotional, and spiritual. It demands some periodic breaks. Jesus survived stress because he knew how to rest. He knew how to get away from it all. Which brings me to the last principle as I get ready to close. Give your stress to Christ. Give it to Christ. Again, the text says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? That's what some folk are living on. They're living on religion. They're living on rules and expectations that somebody else has put on them. And Jesus says, "That I didn't put that yoke on you. Take my yoke upon you." As a matter of fact, the way it is put, he says, come to me. Come away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. There's some stuff that folk try to hang on you that don't fit you. But we got the nerve to try to fit into it. Psychologically, emotionally, physically, all of that. Because somebody else says, that's what feels good to me for you. Notice in the passage, this is what we call dedication. And in this passage, there are five action words that speak to our dedication, our devotion. He says, come to me. He says, get away with me. He says, walk with me. He says, work with me. He says, keep company with me. And if you do those things, what will happen as a result? Well, the text says, you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of stress relief I can use in my life. Christian survival training, one-on-one. Intending to live. We're going to have to start intending to live differently than how we're living now, because you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Even Einstein said that's insane. You can't keep doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. So what is your intentions? I'm going to intend to do some things differently in my life. And there's some principles here that I can apply. So I got to ask you again, who's in? Amen. I'm in. Because I talked about medication. Some of us can probably lower the dosage of your medication if you lower some of this stuff that folk are putting on you or we putting on ourselves. Now, next week, I'm gonna deal with handling conflict. We got conflict, too. We got conflict at home. You got conflict on your job. You got conflict at school. You got inner conflict. And guess what? You even got conflict in the church. But we can learn how to handle it. Because if we don't learn how to handle conflict, it's going to perpetually handle you. So over the course of the week, it's a lot of reading, but you know the story. Read Genesis. I'm going back to the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis chapter 50. You got time. Let me tell you how I know. Cut out some of that television. Cut back on some of that social media. feed your spirit with some different stuff. Quit letting other folk control your calendar. Amen. Figure out what your priorities are, and if you can make that a priority, amen. Biblical principles for handling conflict. Amen. So as we get ready to open the doors of the church, come here. As we get ready to open up the doors of the church, I think about how some of us are here, but for the grace of God. We're here mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. Some of us are struggling relationally. Some of us are struggling financially. But I need to encourage somebody. Somebody is here even in spite of your condition or your circumstance. But we need to leave here encouraged. So I whispered to Jamad and I asked him, this one here, you know, never would have made it. We never would have made it. And for somebody, you need to be encouraged. You are still making it because of the Lord. Stand to your
feet. Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.